Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, guys, listen to me. I need all your eyes. This is what we train for. This is what we work for. This is who we are. We came out and we found a way. We always said it would not be pretty. We'll win the game. We'll come back in here and have a good time and figure out how we can get better. This is what I need. Anybody listen? We win one moment at a time.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm your host, Jordan Hill. Got Ben Wolk with us on this Tuesday afternoon, going through the basically the beginning of what's left of the offseason. We are now a little bit of a week removed from spring practice. We've kind of wrapped up all the spring ball talk, but there's no shortage of things to talk about. There's a lot of transfer portal intrigue out there, a lot of pieces to watch when it comes to the Georgia Bulldogs. But also, we're just a few days away from the NFL draft, and we're going to do a lot of talking about that and what we expect to see with a dozen Bulldogs hoping to hear their names called over the three-day NFL draft. Ben, just how's this Tuesday treating you as we continue staying busy? You know, you kind of think once spring ball's done, it's like, all right, we'll get a chance to exhale, but you got the portal and you got the draft pretty much right after that, so still plenty to do and talk about.
Well, yeah, it's a nice Tuesday for me. Probably not as nice as it is for our good friend Kip. I've got his itinerary pulled up. He's going to be away for the next couple of podcasts because he's really struggling through it in Italy right now. He's in Venice, flew in this morning. I think he's probably on a ferry ride back from dinner right now, and if my time zones are correct. So we can all know that we're not, and myself, you, anybody listening to this is probably not enjoying themselves as much as Kip is. And I would guess he's probably not listening to this while he's over in Italy.
I think you're wrong. He's probably live streaming and he's on one of those boats just trying to get good signal. But we need to make this while he's gone. That's got to be a recurring theme. The KAI, the Kip Adams itinerary.
I'll definitely. I've got it pulled up. I've got it saved in my inbox, so I'll definitely give updates whenever we're on here.
Well, let's talk about what else is going on right now. And for Georgia, the big focus is the transfer portal. And since the last podcast, which has been less than a week, but I swear it feels like so much has happened since the last time we came on and talked. The big focus for Georgia has been former Arizona State quarterback Jaden Rashada. Georgia emerged pretty much as soon as Rashada went in the portal as an option. We've discussed, we've written about Georgia's push to try to get to four scholarship quarterbacks. No big surprise. I will say, you know, was a little bit surprised that they became linked to Rashada as quickly as they did. But now we're looking at a situation where Jaden Rashada, if people will remember, a one-time Florida signee decides to go to Arizona State instead after a little bit of a debacle with the Florida NIL situation. Spent last year at Arizona State, entered the portal, and is right now in Athens as we're recording this on Tuesday, going through a visit, trying to determine where he is going to end up and where he's going to play college football next. So, Ben, just give us your read on this situation, sort of the intrigue on both sides and where things stand right now, especially when it comes to Jaden Rashada having a chance to check out Athens.
Yeah, well, I mean, the facts of it all are pretty simple. I mean, Georgia has, and Kirby Smart publicly has been very open about the desire for a fourth scholarship quarterback. So I think that all of us that were monitoring the roster management side of things, when we saw someone of Jaden Rashada's magnitude enter the transfer portal, it definitely raised our eyebrows a little bit, because it made you say, all right, if we're talking about talent and Georgia looking to bring the most talented football players in the country into its locker room, and they need a scholarship quarterback for the 2024 season, Jaden Rashada made a whole lot of sense. And so the facts of it are that there was immediate interest from both sides. I think that Jaden Rashada was someone that obviously coming out of high school was looking to play football in the SEC. And I think that there are a couple of opportunities here that present themselves for him to be able to do so. He's now in Athens for a visit. His family arrived on Monday night. The visit officially started with Georgia on Tuesday. I believe he'll be here Tuesday and Wednesday, potentially into Thursday. And I don't expect this to be a super elongated decision, but it'll be interesting to see what comes out of the visit. I mean, as we know with all of these quarterback official visits, whether it's out of high school, whether it's in the transfer portal, Georgia is going to do its own due diligence. I'm sure that the Rashadas are coming in with a lot of questions about depth chart and offensive style and game plan and developmental processes. And I think that the question that is going to come up, just because of some of the narratives that have come along with Jaden Rashada along the way, is going to be where the priorities lie. And I think that that's what's, you know, we talked about the facts of it and, you know, him being on the visit and Georgia's interest and their interest. I think that there's a lot of opinion out there about Jaden Rashada and whether it makes sense for Georgia. And I mean, I'm just going to state my own opinion here, is I think it makes a whole lot of sense for both sides. I mean, I think that one, Georgia's looking for a fourth scholarship quarterback, and he's the best one in the transfer portal right now, by my estimation. On Jaden Rashada's side, a lot of people say, why would it make sense for him? Well, I think that him transferring and entering his name at this point in time, he knows that starting is probably not his complete and total priority, because he would have had opportunity to do that where he already was. I think that for him, development and getting where he wants to go at the next level is really important, and an opportunity to compete in the 2025 season. And I think that Georgia presents that just about as good as anybody in college football. And so again, there's opinion about Jaden Rashada and whether it makes sense for Georgia. I personally think it makes complete sense for both sides. And I think that a lot of the narratives around Jaden Rashada and what some of his, you know, the priorities that have led him to certain places in his recruitment, I think some of that is also misrepresented out there as well. I think that some of what he's dealt with has been a matter of circumstance, and the NIL experience figuring itself out on the fly when a lot of people, including programs and collectives and recruits and families, everybody was also new to it. And I think that he kind of just became the unfair poster child for some of the bad ways that these things could go. And so I think that what his priorities are, and this is merely my opinion just from looking at it from the outside, I think that some of the things that are important to him in this decision-making process are not what a lot of the narratives around him would suggest that they are.
I think the biggest thing to me, you hit on this, and I think you even wrote this, Ben, you know, you look at Rashada when he was coming in, that's the same class where Georgia kind of put all of its eggs in the Arch Manning basket, and then that doesn't pay off, and all of a sudden you're sort of looking around trying to figure out, now you've got a quarterback that age. And, you know, I had the big question when it came to what they were going to do at quarterback, you know, how exactly are you going to convince someone to come here? Because, you know, in my estimation, there were two options. One, get a younger guy and just tell him, look, you're going to sit for a year, but you've still got eligibility left. Or two, get an older guy that may not even ever get to start at Georgia, but, you know, maybe they want to go into coach and maybe they want to see this as an opportunity to learn. This, to me, has the making of a great addition. If it winds up happening, you know, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, Jaden Rashada is going to have a lot of different options. This isn't like this is his last opportunity or this is the only shot he's going to have. But it makes a ton of sense to me from both sides of it. I think especially Georgia, if you can get Jaden Rashada into Athens and just show him around and sort of sell him on the program, have some of those other quarterbacks sort of talk about their experience. To me, it's pretty much a win-win situation for Georgia. And the risk, in my opinion, especially with what you have, knowing you have Carson Beck for this season, To me, it makes too much sense for Georgia not to go after a guy with this kind of talent.
And you bring up a good point. I mean, we are talking, just for time reference here, I mean, we're talking about this on Tuesday afternoon, the first day of his visit. There's still a lot going on as we speak around him being on campus today, him being on campus tomorrow, what goes into film sessions, conversations with Mike Bobo and Montgomery Van Gorder and Kirby Smart. And so there's so much more to, you know, figure out over the next 48 hours to say definitively one way or the other whether or not he actually lands with Georgia. But just from a fit standpoint, I personally think it makes a lot of sense.
I agree. I also want to talk, Ben, about the portal sort of from the other side with Georgia, you know, to date. And again, it's pretty good to sort of timestamp when we're talking Tuesday afternoon, about a little bit after three, because we know how quickly these things can change. You know, Georgia has done a very good job of keeping its roster together. Unless I've missed anybody, it's Andrew Paul, it's Tyler Williams and Braxton Hicks that have left to this point. Ben, are you surprised at all that we haven't seen more departures? You know, looking at the roster coming spring, you know, I'll admit there were a few names that I had circled, and it wasn't because of hearing specific intel, but you look at the depth chart, you get a feel for, you know, who's asserted themselves as a chance to start, who may decide, you know, they want to look elsewhere. I think if you're Georgia, how it's played out to this point, you have to feel pretty good, I should say, just about the roster retention and what they've got to work with, all the while knowing that the portal is still open for a few more days.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm surprised necessarily, because I think that Georgia toes the line of 85 scholarship better than anybody in college football. And so a lot of it has to do with what their plans are incoming. You know, we know that there are definitely situations that guys are willing to come off of scholarship to stay at Georgia as well. And we don't always know the details of who that is or when that is or why that is. And so, you know, that's always a possibility too. But I think right now, the big thing is right now, Jaden Rashad is really the only incoming transfer in the spring period that is being linked to Georgia. We obviously know that Benjamin Urasek is coming in the summer, but we kind of have a good idea of what Georgia's numbers look like, and they have a way better idea of exactly what that number looks like. And so if there aren't any departures necessary, I mean, in terms of maybe players wanting to find greener pastures or whatever that might be, it's a little bit surprising. But I do think that the SEC to SEC exclusion from the transfer rule is definitely playing a big part in this, because I think that when you talk about relationships and where people were familiar with coming out of high school, I mean, there are obviously examples of Georgia, Florida State overlap, or Georgia, Clemson overlap, or Georgia, Miami overlap that could happen from time to time. But by and large, the relationships that Georgia's football players have or with other SEC football programs, and those are just not opportunities that were going to be available to them in this transfer window. So I think that is playing a big role in why Georgia's not seeing, you know, as many guys depart. Now, it should be said, you know, Georgia is obviously linked to a quarterback. There might be some other position groups that Georgia is at least evaluating and testing the waters on, just to see what they could bring into the program, if they could upgrade their roster at all. And that could have an effect on that 85 number. And so it's not out of the question necessarily that somebody could be teetering or on their way out still in this window. But as of right now, I mean, I think Georgia has done an incredible job of retention. And I think, as always, not to just, you know, fan Kirby Smart's program and everything that's great about it, but I do think culture matters in times like this. And when there is a lot of change, and there, you know, everything that I've heard talking to recruits and families and people around the program that have been at spring practices, I mean, I think there is a hunger to not, you know, to redeem themselves on what happened last season. I think that there really is an itch to get back to the championship pedigree that they had the two seasons before that. And I think that because of that, even if you're not necessarily a starter, you feel that you want to be a part of that, and you want to stay in the program because you think that there's probably more optimism heading into the 2024 season in Athens than just about anywhere else.
I think too, and I think we might have even mentioned this on one of the podcasts since G-Day, you know, Kirby was asked about guys potentially leaving, and he was like, essentially, they know the drill. You know, they know what they've signed up for at Georgia. He said that, you know, G-Day was their easiest practice of all spring, so they made sure to enjoy that. But Ben, I think you make a good point in the fact that, you know, it seems like every portal window, as a writer covering this team, you sort of build a list of like, all right, here's a few guys that I'm watching. Here's some guys who could conceivably leave. And time again, it's a small chunk that wind up leaving Georgia. You know, they sort of understand the buy-in. And also, too, once you've gone through this, once you've gone through, you know, all that hard work, I think a lot of those guys say, you know, to the point you just made, I'm just as good off just staying at Georgia rather than, you know, going through, you know, hell to get to this point and maybe not having that opportunity right this minute, but you know, still having a chance maybe somewhere down the line.
I think you bring up a good point, too, about people and like what Kirby Smart had to say about people knowing what they signed up for. And I'm not going to act like an expert on how Georgia recruited 4 or 5 years ago. I probably shouldn't even act like an expert on how they recruit right now, but 4 or 5 years ago and, you know, who was in the program and how you had to coach them and things like that. But I do think that as Georgia and the coaching staff gets more acclimated to the current era and how to navigate it, they have, you know, taken on a what I would consider a very savvy approach in terms of how they communicate, how hard it is to play at Georgia, but also just what you can expect in terms of your development and your playing time and what your expectations might be. I think, you know, in the past, you might have been able to get away a little bit more with selling the dream of early playing time when it wasn't realistic because some people just aren't ready early. And I think that Georgia has really benefited from just being real with people about, look, it's hard to play. You maybe don't want to play. Kirby Smart brought it up last year in a press conference. I thought it was great. It's like, do you want to play early and have bad film, or do you want to wait your turn and have good film? I mean, it's, you don't want there to be bad looks out there for you early on in your career just because you weren't ready and you didn't know what you were doing. And so I think Georgia selling the vision correctly in terms of what your experience is actually going to be like does help when it comes to roster retention of your best players.
For sure. And I think it's something even Julian Humphrey talked about this spring of like, hey, my best is right there in front of me. If I want to go play in the NFL, I'm better off just staying here and playing in Athens. Going to take a quick break, come back and talk about the NFL draft. It's going to be a very busy weekend for Georgia. And we anticipate there's going to be several dogs that hear their names called over the course of the 3-day draft.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Ben, talking about the draft, just before we really dive into this year's draft and what we expect to see for some of Georgia's players, You know, this is the first time that you've been here for draft coverage with Dogs 24/7. So I want to ask you, you know, are you a big draft guy? Do you really get into it? Do you make a big deal of it? What sort of how you approach the draft every year?
Yeah, no, I'm a huge draft guy. I mean, I think that I was actually talking about this recently. I think it might have been like a dream that I was having that the NFL should get to a point that they have like a different pick for every like day of the year. So I don't know. I can't remember. My brain was going weird places. But all that to say, I think that there should be more draft. People complain about them extending it and having long picks, everything like that. Like, no, there should be more draft. That's what it was. It was, I want the first round to become a month-long process, and each day is dedicated to one pick where everybody, all the commentators, they all argue about who the first pick is going to be, and they have all of this content, and then they make the pick, and then the day ends, and we just start it all back over. It's like Groundhog Day, but it's pick number two. But yes, I'm a big fan, and I'm looking forward to, from this point of view, having gone through, you know, the pro day process and seeing some of these guys play their senior years and being able to witness it up close a little bit more and know them personally a little bit more. I'm excited to see just, you know, it all go down this week.
You said the best word you could have used for that situation was content. Just think about, the amount of podcast alone that we would make out of, all right, this pick was made. What does it mean for the next 31? I mean, that's just, they really need to get you on the phone with Roger Goodell. I think that's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, a lot of people complain. They say, oh, these picks don't need to be as long. You know who you're going to take. Also, it's like, no, I want as much of the NFL draft content as I can get.
Well, we've got it over at Dogs 24/7. I've done a preview on about 10 of the Georgia players that I think have a legitimate shot at being drafted. There's 12 guys out there, and I'll go through all those names here in a second. And I'll start with looking at going through the draft. I always enjoy making mock drafts, although I don't know if there's anything that is just a bigger waste of time in the entire world than making a mock draft. A first round is something. The people that go through, like Dane Bugler at The Athletic, and do every single pick, I can't even think about what you could come up with that would have been a better use of your time. Now, I say that, you know, being all gung-ho for it, being someone who's going to read through it, and especially as an Atlanta Falcons fan, I want to see who my team is supposed to get, although none of that is going to wind up playing out. But I went through and looked at, and this will be a story on Wednesday, so if you're listening or watching the podcast, this is a little bit of a heads up. I projected where I see Georgia's players landing. And I've got two Georgia players going in the first round. Brock Bowers, I've got going 10th overall to the New York Jets. Then I have Amarius Mims, 20th overall to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin loves him, some Georgia players, so I see him being a landing spot there in Pittsburgh. I've got a couple of second-round picks. Ladd McConkey, 39th overall to the Carolina Panthers. 61st overall is going to be Javon Bullard to the Detroit Lions. Got one third-round pick, Cedric Van Pran, going 71st overall to the Arizona Cardinals. Got a couple of fourth-round picks, Marcus Rosemy, Jack Saint, 130th overall to the Baltimore Ravens. Tyke Smith, 133rd overall to the Buffalo Bills. Couple of Georgia players going in the sixth round, two running backs, Kendall Milton, 196th overall to the Los Angeles Rams, and then Dejon Edwards, 210th overall to the Philadelphia Eagles. 10th and final Georgia player I have being drafted, Zion Logue, 7th round, 235th overall to the Seattle Seahawks. That would leave William Moat, the long snapper, and defensive end, Tramiel Walthour, as guys that will have a chance to sign as undrafted free agents. But I think Georgia would take having 10 guys drafted. I'd probably set that over under around 8.5. I think that once you get into some of those later rounds, it's going to be hard. And you could see either way, guys being drafted later just signing with a team as an undrafted free agent. But Ben, when you look at this entire group, is there a fit that just comes to mind for you with any of these guys that you're like, hey, I would really like this NFL team to get this former Georgia player because, you know, if he lands there, he's got a real opportunity to have success?
Well, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think that for me, I'm looking at the end of the first round or beginning of the second round, who ends up taking Ladd McConkey, because I think that's where he's going to fall in. And, you know, if he ends up late in the first round, I think the Buffalo Bills would be an awesome landing spot for him. You know, Diggs just left. They need another weapon. I think that Ladd McConkey is the best route runner in the draft class. I think it would be a really good fit for the explosive and exciting type of offense that the Bills try and run. But if he goes, you know, dips into the early second, you know, early second round, I mean, a weapon for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, I think that would be a lot of fun. And I think that they could use Ladd in a lot of creative ways as well in that offense that's centered around Lamar Jackson. So those would be two landing spots that I'd really like to see for Ladd. I think for Amarius Mims, I'm fascinated to see where he ends up projecting and how much. I mean, he really is the ultimate, you know, projection. And what have you seen compared to, like, how much has he done? And I think that I lean towards the NFL liking that projection a lot. But I think a really good landing spot for him would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, we know Mike Tomlin has a lot of familiarity with Georgia guys. He's drafted Georgia players in the first round in the past. I think that having Broderick Jones on that offensive line with him, having Darnell Washington there as well, would be good fits for him to really just stay on track and get comfortable with the NFL world. So those are two guys that I think are going to be really early draft picks. And I think where they fall is really going to dictate how much success they're able to have early.
Just running through a few of those projections that I had, I just can't get out of my head, like, Ladd McConkey catching passes from Bryce Young. I feel like that, you know, whether or not it's Ladd McConkey and whether or not he's still on the board by the time they pick at 39, they have got to get more pass catchers around him. That was a terrible receiving core in Carolina last year. I've really got that stuck in my head. And then Javon Bullard, I don't know about you, Ben. I'm a huge Dan Campbell guy. I love just listening to him talk. And he just fits the bill to me of someone like that Dan Campbell would watch the film of and just fall in love with. Like, yeah, I think if he's got an opportunity there, that he would do really well.
Now, if we're talking Falcons and who the Falcons, I think, could be in play or should potentially be in play for, I think that if they're, you know, I don't think that the Falcons are going to take a wide receiver early in the draft, even though there's some good options that might be available when they're there. If they're looking to take one later in the draft, I do think that Marcus Rosemi-Jackson is a good fit for what the Falcons like to do and who they typically like to bring in on offense. I know it's a different head coach, and so priorities might be a little bit different, but I do think that, you know, Marcus Rosemi is someone that I could really see the Falcons liking as well. So, and that's someone that I would love to see in a Falcons jersey too.
I accidentally skipped one of the Georgia players because I was looking at my notes. Right after Ladd McConkey, Kamari Laster, I have going 42nd overall. That's the second round to the Houston Texans. And in my write-up, which if you guys want to read breakdowns that I've written on all these guys, go to Dogs 24/7. He makes a lot of sense for the Falcons. And he's a guy that if Atlanta picked him, they have a big need at the other corner spot. I think he would be great. But I'm just convinced, and I'm just so scarred, that I think that he's going to be there and the Falcons are going to pass on him. And then he's going to be like an all-pro player but maybe that's the best for Kamari, is Atlanta not coming close, not touching him.
I definitely think that we've seen it a couple of times in the past where Georgia players have been sitting on the board a little bit longer than we expected them to. I mean, I think it happened with N'Kobe Dean. I think it happened with Kelee Ringo to an extent. I'm probably blanking on some other guys that maybe sat a little bit longer than we would have thought. I'm not expecting this with Kamari because I think he was one of the best football players that Georgia's had over the last 3-year stretch. I do think that because of the times that he ran and people not being 100% certain, is he a corner, is he a nickel, is he a safety, that if he ends up slipping, he's going to be one of those guys that people are going to desperately regret missing on, because I think that he's someone that had he run, you know, half a second faster in the 40, the entire conversation about him would be completely different. And I just think that, you know, I think a lot of people make a regrettable decision by not taking him if he does slip a little bit.
Yeah, he was a guy when I was writing those draft previews, just he was fun to just watch his highlights. And he was a guy that was really, him and Javon both, I love watching them play and what they're able to do. Now, when you look at this draft as a whole, Ben, is there a storyline or maybe a player that outside of Georgia that you're really intrigued to see what happens with? And for me, the one that comes to mind for me is not so much there's two that come to mind. One, I want to see what the Minnesota Vikings do, because there's been a lot of talk about they're going to trade up, they're going to get a quarterback. who exactly do they trade up with? What are the ramifications behind them? And then my other one is just Michael Penix, because I feel like I've heard all kinds of different stuff about where he's projected. There's been talk about the Falcons maybe being interested in him. I would imagine, or at least hope, that would be toward like the second round. But is there a storyline sort of outside of the Georgia sphere that you're really interested in that you want to pay attention to once this draft gets underway?
Well, I am fascinated by Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers, I'll be honest, because I, you know, he's talked up J.J. McCarthy so much. And I guess sort of I'll tie those two together in some respects. Like, I'm kind of curious what happens with J.J. McCarthy, just because I think he's one of the more polarizing prospects in the draft. And I understand why, and I can see both sides of it. And I'm not going to make an opinion one way or the other on J.J. McCarthy, but I am interested to see what happens with him. And then I'm just fascinated by Harbaugh and him being crazy and what he says on draft night and what they end up doing and what the direction of the Chargers looks like, just because. And I'll be honest with you, it is a Harbaugh thing because he's a weird and quirky guy. And obviously being in the Georgia sphere, the Michigan sphere was closely in orbit over the last few years. And so we watched Jim Harbaugh maybe a little bit more than we have with some other guys. But anytime that there's a premier college football coach making the leap to the NFL, I'm always pretty fascinated by it. And I think that, you know, this week is really the beginning of that journey. In terms of players, along the lines of Penix, the wide receivers, I'm curious to see who ends up going first, what the order of them ends up being. I think that if you talk to 20 different scouts, you get 20 different answers in terms of, you know, Neighbors. I always butcher Rome's last name for Washington, so I'm not even going to try. You can correct me after I'm done with this. And then Marvin Harrison Jr., who I think that a lot of people assume is the number one wide receiver, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion necessarily. And I think that it's going to be fascinating to see how all of that plays out. We've seen a couple of drafts in the past where people have maybe been surprised by which receivers went first, or, you know, and I make one that comes to mind is Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, he's ended up, the Bengals took him at 5, and I think a lot of people were surprised with the other receiver options that were there, and it turned out to be a pretty smart choice. And so we've seen that in the past where it's who the first receiver off the board isn't always who would have been the first receiver off the board, depending on who the first team that needed a wide receiver was to get to pick. And so I think that that'll, you know, be interesting to watch on Thursday.
Yeah, Roma Dunze, he is fantastic. Dunze. But for me, I'm going Marvin Harrison Jr. if I got a pick. I'm hoping that for Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, they just don't overthink it. Just pick him and get a really good receiver for that game.
I know. Well, and then I read all this NFL draft stuff that I can. I think the reason I read it so much is because it's almost like recruiting for the NFL, and I don't have to cover it. I don't have to figure out what's going on. I can just kind of be an innocent bystander to it all. And I think that I was reading, I think it was at The Athletic, just to throw where I was reading it at, but they had the anonymous scouts talking about the NFL draft and things like that. And I don't know how much of that is smoke screens being thrown out there to try and dictate people's thoughts heading into draft night versus how much of it is what they actually think because they're allowed to be anonymous. But the wide receiver talk was just fascinating to me because I feel like there are a lot of people that think Malik Nabers is the best wide receiver. And I think that Roma Dunze, to get my payback on that one, I think that he is someone that a lot of teams really, really like as well. And, you know, along with talking about Michael Penix, I mean, I think that those two sort of go hand in hand in terms of when you, and not to, you know, you don't give full credit one way or the other, but when you're sort of crediting Washington's success last season, like how much of that was Michael Penix being the leader and the passer that he was, how much of that was Roma Dunze being one of the best wide receivers in the country, and how much of that was, you know, the combination of the two.
I got to say, too, I am really excited to see what A.D. Mitchell does. And I don't know how you feel about him as a draft prospect, but I mean, if he was there and the Falcons got him a little bit like in the second round, I'd be all for it. I really liked watching A.D. and made a lot of plays for Georgia and made a lot of plays in that 1 year at Texas.
No doubt. He's one that's up there with Ladd for me when it comes to just creating separation, feeling like they're always open. I mean, he's definitely, yeah, I'm intrigued. That's another guy that he's sort of in the Georgia orbit, but I'm excited to see where he ends up and what he looks like as a pro prospect too. He was fun to watch at Texas. I know that was a tough transfer for folks, but now that we're a year removed from it all and everybody's now out of college, I feel like we can look back and say that his year at Texas was fun to watch.
A.D. Mitchell's still a damn good dog, and I think a lot of Georgia fans will be rooting for him wherever he winds up playing on Sundays. Okay. Want to make sure and say to stay tuned to Dogs 24/7. We will have stories throughout the 3 days of the draft with all the intel about where Georgia players are going. And then on Sunday, I'll wrap it up and do a superlative story about best fit and you know, who we want to see where and how things all shook out. Before we wrap this up, UGA Men's Basketball Minute. Georgia has added a player and has lost a player since the last time we recorded. On Thursday, they added Mount St. Mary's guard DeShane Montgomery. Really impressive guy that's coming into his sophomore season. Played 32 games last year for the Mountaineers. 13.2 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2 assists per game. Really like what he brings to the table. Georgia's sort of working to improve their backcourt. I think he's a guy that's probably going to be coming in off the bench, but he's got a lot to bring to the table. Excited once we get through with the draft, I'm going to sit down and really break down his game, get a look for what his strengths are and what he brings to the table. I think the best thing about him is the fact that Georgia got to see him in person. He scored 23 points, 10 of 16 shooting in Athens, 3 assists, 3 steals. Georgia won that game 94-82, but I think it was a situation where they kept that name in their back pocket, and they said, you know, that guy was pretty impressive. And he's got another teammate, LaFeu, that is also in the portal that Georgia's looking at, so we'll see what winds up happening there. On the other side, Georgia loses RJ Melendez. He decides he is going to enter the portal. That was actually something that happened on Tuesday morning. RJ spent 1 year at Georgia, was previously at Illinois. A lot to like about his game. He was kind of up and down, and I think you saw that if you look at his stat line. I think there was opportunity if he was able to come back. There was plenty to like about his game, but with some of the pieces that Georgia's bringing in, I can understand really for both parties why they decided, hey, we're just going to have a fresh start. And so he's moving on. So Georgia's got 7 open scholarships, and they're staying really busy. A lot of guys they're targeting, a lot of guys that I think if Georgia is able to land them, you know, they've got a lot of potential and they have an opportunity to get better. But, you know, it's one thing to recruit a guy. It's another to get him to sign and come to Georgia. But a lot of moving pieces right now. But to this point, I think Georgia's done a pretty good job. They've just got to stay after it with some of the guys they're still contacting and try to close because, you know, again, if you don't close on them, it doesn't account to very much for your program.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound dire, but it's an important offseason. I mean, this is kind of the offseason. I think you mentioned it, 7 scholarship openings. It really, next season comes down to what does Mike White do with those scholarship openings and everything that they've been linked to so far. I think there's a lot of talented basketball players that they're trying to bring in to Athens to join, you know, really the freshman core that they were able to hold on to, and then the incoming class with Asa Newell as well. And, you know, it's what do they do with those seven spots? And if they upgrade those 7 spots year over year, they're going to be positioning themselves for a tournament run. But if they don't, I think people are going to start asking questions about the program. And so I think it's just a really important offseason. You cover the program much better than I do, so I don't want to speak out of turn, but I would assume that Mike White is very aware of how important this offseason is compared to previous offseasons. And so, you know, it's a fascinating one to watch to see who all they bring in.
Yeah, I think they sort of understand how important, especially with – look at the SEC. I mean, I think that the SEC could be even better this next year with Calipari now at Arkansas, Mark Pope at Kentucky, a lot of moving pieces in. Some teams retaining coaches that, you know, there was a chance that they might have left, like Chris Beard at Ole Miss, Chris Jones there at Mississippi State. I think that they understand that it's going to be a very competitive season in 24-25, so they got to be ready. And make sure, too, if you're interested in all reading and keeping up with what's going on with the basketball team, go to Dogs 24/7. We have a running portal thread. There's a lot of good intel in there, and we've been able to pass along some nuggets along the way, and we'll continue to do so. So we are going to wrap up the episode right there. I appreciate Ben for popping on, especially sharing Kip's itinerary. I can't wait to continue getting that in the week to come. But also, thank you to everyone who watched this live, everyone who is listening to this after the fact. We definitely appreciate it. If you're listening to it on a podcast app, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave a review. Let us know how we're doing and that you like the show. Also, go to Dogs 24/7 on YouTube. You can watch these podcast episodes. You can watch the interviews that we've done throughout the offseason. We've started throwing YouTube shorts on there, all kinds of good stuff there. And also Dogs 24/7 on TikTok. We've got all the videos there, and we'll continue to put them out, especially in these coming days with the draft getting going. So for Ben Wolk, I am Jordan Hill. Until next time, take care, everybody.